Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, July 23rd, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 34, that first paragraph, as we look back through one paragraph ending most of them within a few weeks. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Tamara C., 12 Traditions, Mary P. Readers of the text, Luann C., Shelley E., and Tamara C. The reference number for Monday, July 22nd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,591. That's 21591. And for this morning, Tuesday, July 23rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,593. That's 21593. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Hillary B., and Leslie M. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Tamara C. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood them. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. How our meeting works. And I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thanks, Don. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 34, that first paragraph, as we look back through one paragraph ending, most of them within a few weeks, commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Luann C. to read and then share with us.
Good morning, Don. Thank you, and thanks, everyone, for being here. I'm really, really privileged to be able to be of service today. I'm Luann C., recovered in Boise, Idaho. As we look back, we feel we had gone on drinking many years beyond the point where we could quit on our own willpower. If anyone questions whether he has entered this dangerous area, let him try leaving liquor alone for 1 year. If he is a real alcoholic and very far advanced, there's scant chance of success. In the early days of our drinking, we occasionally remained sober for a year or more, becoming serious drinkers again later. Though you may be able to stop for a considerable period, you may yet be a potential alcoholic. We think few to whom this book will appeal can stay dry anything like a year. Some will be drunk the day after making their resolutions, most of them within a few weeks. So this paragraph perfectly describes my whole career as a dieter. You know, I think at one point I was able to remain on my diet program for 2 years. But even in program, you know, by the end, before I got recovered, I was counting the days and I would go, well, I've been, you know, abstinent for, 27 days. And then I didn't understand why, but I would just fall down the hill again. But I'm really grateful for these pages that we've been studying these last few weeks. That line that stood out to me was once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And I never really subscribed to that. I couldn't really accept it for myself even now. And yet here I am in this paragraph. And, you know, now I've been abstinent a little over that year. And yet when I recently went on a vacation, it was out of my controlled environment, spiritual structure, the mental obsession kicked in and I didn't even recognize it. Really, it's a miracle I made it back abstinent. And I didn't even recognize the close call until us studying this. And I really felt like, boy, I dodged a bullet train there. So I started looking back at my program and looking for the weak spots that, you know, where is this because I'm not doing the program right or what? And I found my 10th steps that I really wasn't surrendering to the necessity of that process. And so I have recommitted. And, you know, as soon as I started really doing the process, immediately the committee dispersed, because it had grown loud since the vacation and the confusion was coming back. And, you know, this meeting and your shares helped me recognize the little lies so that I can course correct. And I'm just so grateful this morning for this paragraph and to have an opportunity to thank you all for being here and just your courage and your great shares that are so honest that I cannot deny the truth in them. So I just want to thank you for letting me share and be of service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Luann C., for getting us started. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
I'm Wendy B. Nina. From Maryland.
I heard Wendy B.
from New York.
And Barbara from New York?
Yes.
Eileen D. from Maryland?
Eileen D.
Ian F.
Ian F.
Tamara C.
Tamara C. And Barbara, what was your initial? I'm sorry.
Barbara S.
S. Very good. Okay, I have Wendy B., Barbara S., Eileen B., Ian F., and Tamara C. Wendy B., please go ahead and share with us.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And this test of leaving liquor alone for 1 year, you know, it's just like so obvious, you know, but it's so impossible to do, you know, if you're an addict like me. And you know, if you're not an addict and you stop using a substance, your life will get better. You know, you'll be able to function better and be more productive. But if you're an addict and you put down your substance, you become a dry drunk, you know, and life gets miserable, you know, because you no longer have your substance to bring you ease and comfort. And, you know, without the food, you know, then I was faced with the obsession of the mind, you know, the craziness in my head, you know, with no solution. And, you know, and then I'm still craving my substance, you know, I'm just white knuckling it. And I'm still, you know, living in the bedevilments, you know, and I'm, you know, struggling with the emotional and psychological issues that drove me into the food to begin with, you know, and that's why we need to work the steps, you know, and we need to get connected to God so we can grow up, you know, and learn to use the tools to help us learn how to cope with living life on life's terms. You know, this program gives us a way of living so we can live abstinently, happily, and successfully. And it's wonderful. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. From Arizona. Barbara S., it's your turn, followed by Eileen D. Star one, Barbara. May I be heard? Am I being heard?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
We can hear you.
You're wonderful. Oh, thank you so much. Well, perhaps Barbara S. had some technical difficulties there. We'll move on to Eileen D. and then come back to Barbara.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are, Barbara. Go ahead. Share with us,
okay,
please.
Okay, this is Barbara from Bronx. I haven't been on this meeting in a long time, and I feel my higher power brought me back to this meeting. I've been to meetings in general over the years regularly, but after many years, not only in program, I need these reminders. I'm going to reread page 34 of the paragraph after this meeting because it's just what I needed to hear. I am abstinent, and then all of a sudden I'll put something in my mouth that is salty or sugary, and it starts again. It starts again like alcohol. I was blessed that I never had the addiction of alcohol, but I have the addiction of the food, and I'm diabetic and, you know, the full package. But last night I had something that was salty, and I went back, and I went back, and I went back. No more. I mean, it's like I just need program. I need the reminders. I don't know what reading, one of the OA readings mentioned repetition, and we say to ourselves sometimes, oh, why do I have to repeat the prayer? What? This is why, because after many years, it just doesn't stop. We just have to work the program each and every day. My higher power brought me here this morning, and it's a blessing. Thank you. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Barbara S. from New York. Eileen D., it's your turn, followed by Ian F. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about page 34, that first paragraph that starts with, as we look back through one paragraph ending, most of them within a few weeks. Go ahead and share, Eileen.
Sure, thank you. Good morning. Eileen D. from Maryland. And that first sentence just gripped me. As we look back, we feel we had gone on drinking many years beyond the point where we could quit on our own willpower. And I just feel that that was me in a nutshell. You know, I would never have made it. I just never made it without the program past a few days. Diet. I would try a diet and lose a couple pounds, and I was off to the races back to binging. And it was only in this program did I have the spiritual, the emotional, the physical wherewithal because of all the help and the love in the rooms and on these lines that I could actually do it one day at a time, actually keep the food where food needed to be. And this is amazing. Just yesterday, I had a really hard fall. I was gym, my daily, I go a couple times a week. I was going to the gym, and as I was leaving, I was saying goodbye to my grandson, and I fell hard. I tripped on something. I felt so hard. Everyone came running, and, you know, by God's grace, I'm here. I'm bruised, but nothing broke. And the first thing I thought of is, what could I comfort myself with? Is that silly or what? Well, I had to go upstairs and take a moment there and make a couple calls and do a few texting moments, you know, because food would not have fixed it. I'm still sore today. But without the program, I just couldn't have gone through even a fall without numbing it even more with food. So I'm so grateful for the program and so grateful to be here. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Eileen D. from Maryland. Ian F., it's your turn, followed by Tamara C., and then I'll be taking some more names.
Hi, this is Ian F., compulsive overeater out of Indiana. Very grateful to be here. I have an amazing willpower. Reading this stuff, you know, it's not like the book never says, we do not have willpower, right? At 15, 16 years old, I woke up at 4 a.m. every morning to run 3 miles, do 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 jumping jacks, 100 squats. I have willpower. I have more willpower than any normie I know. I have an incredible discipline. My father once told me of my anorexia, I wish I had your discipline. when we have that, same thing with binging. When I was binging, the lengths to which I would go to steal food or lie to get money to get food. Incredible. Incredible willpower. So when I look at this willpower that I have that is so great, to me is the proof that this is a disease that is beyond me. Because willpower is clearly not the problem. There's something else, you know, and that's why it takes a miracle to solve, you know, because if I have all this and it won't do anything, I need something huge, huge. And I love this. I love these challenges that this book gives us sometimes where it's like, you think you can do it? Do it. I love that because they know that the real alcoholic can only do it for so long. And sometimes we need that proof, you know, to try to exercise it one more time and fail. And that's what we need. So I love that reminder. Love y'all's shares. Look forward to the rest of them. Bye.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Ian F. from Indiana. Tamara C., it's your turn.
Good morning, Tamara C. I'm so grateful to be recovered, compulsive overeater, and live in Missouri. This part about questioning, if one questions whether he has entered this dangerous area. I've worked with people who have gotten real honest and said, I don't know. I don't know if this is an alcoholic ingredient for me or if I'm really a compulsive overeater, because sometimes I can't control this. Sometimes I've said I was going to eat this amount, and I did. I just ate that amount and left the rest alone. And I get that because I did my share of questioning, of identifying out. That I really would be like, but look at the times that I did control that food, or I ate that ingredient in moderation. Or when I eat it this way, it doesn't bother me. So there were times when I would question, like, am I really powerless? Am I really a compulsive overeater? Maybe I just need more discipline or like a better food plan or a better routine. If I can just figure out my schedule and my routine and follow it, I'll be okay. Or better recipes or more help with portion control. Or maybe I just need better motivation. I remember as a kid, my mom would put these motivational sayings on the fridge to try to help her. Or she'd say, this time I'm losing weight for God, not just for myself, so I know it's going to work. And maybe I just need better motivation. And this big book suggestion, if I'm questioning, is keep trying to control it with your willpower. And if it's a problem for me, I will find out. If I keep trying to control it, and then I cross into that dangerous place, I'll see. Eventually, I'll be in enough pain to get it. Like, wow, my controlling of this food isn't working. And the good news is, when I decide I have entered this dangerous area beyond the point where I can control my eating with willpower, then I can give up the fight and I can accept the help that's offered to me in the steps. And I will pass there.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. from Missouri. And I'm going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We're talking about page 34, the first paragraph, as we look back through one paragraph ending most of them within a few weeks. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Jeannie here, I can hear.
Jeannie, and what's your initial, Jeannie?
N for Nancy.
N for Nancy, okay. And who, what other voice did I hear there?
Maria F. of Dublin.
Maria F.
Kristen R. Carolina.
Was that Kristen?
Yes.
Kristen, and what's your initial?
R.
Okay. And what other voice was there?
Jan from South Carolina.
Jan, was it E?
C is in Cat, Arizona.
Okay. All right. And there was another voice there. Who is that?
Jesse L. from South Carolina.
Jesse L., that's the one. Okay, anyone else? All right, let's go with that lineup. I have Jeannie N., Maria F., Kristen R., Jan C., and Jesse L. Jeannie N., please go ahead and share.
Yeah, no matter how hard I try.
And you excuse me, Jeannie, you want to let us know where you're calling from?
Sure, New Jersey.
Oh, thank you so much. Go ahead, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no matter how hard I tried, I could not get the, you know, stay abstinent sometimes for more than a day. I tried all the different diets and the magazines. You know, I'm not going to go through the whole list of things I tried because I don't even know if we're allowed to do that. But, and I could do it. I could do whatever the diet was for just a short, you know, just till it was over. And then I'd be right back. I couldn't wait till it was over to get back. And I found out, you know, it took a long time until I got into this program that willpower had nothing to do with it. And the only thing that worked for me was this program, God, and the steps. And for me, I need a close relationship with God. And for any newcomers that are on the line, you can have your own concept of God, and you'll learn more about that as you go through the steps. I remember doing all the tools and doing everything that I was supposed to do, and I couldn't figure out. You know, a couple months ago I lost my abstinence, and I am abstinent now by the grace of God. And you know, I found out that there's always improvement. There's always improvement, and all I have for today, guys, is my abstinence is contingent on how spiritually fit I am for today. And I thought I was a very spiritual person, and I found out that there's always room for improvement, and I needed more improvement. Thank you, all of you. Ditto for all you shared. I'm so grateful for everybody's service and the moderators. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jeannie N. from New Jersey. Maria F. from Ireland, please share with us, followed by Kristen R.
Hey, thanks so much, Dawn. My name is Maria F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater here in Dublin, in Ireland. I'm very grateful to be here today, and thanks to everybody for the shares. They've been terrific. And he says, you know, what does he say here? Let him try leaving liquor alone for 1 year. And I can't but think about the previous couple of pages where, you know, the man is 30, he can make a choice, or he has choice at a stage in his life where he can make a decision not to pick up alcohol, and he can put it down for 25 years. And I remember back in my 20s, I did stay more or less off food for about a year, and thought that was it. I was making a big deal out of nothing, you know. And then when the food came back again, it came back harder and harder than ever. Because for me, this disease is being progressive. It's a progressive in its nature. And by the time I got into the rooms at 46 years of age, I was absolutely desperate. And it goes on to say here, you know, some will be drunk the day after making the resolutions, most of them within a few weeks. Yeah, I was certainly drunk most days that I made a resolution. I would get up and I'm not going to do it today, you know, I'm not going to eat the food today. And I would believe that first thing in the morning, and by 11 o'clock, I would be in the food. And didn't know then that I had a twofold illness. I didn't know that. I didn't know that I had a physical allergy and that I had a mental obsession. And that mental obsession was going to bring me back to the food time and time and time again. And then I let off that physical allergy. So one bite, I'm one bite away. And thank you, God, I've been 13 years in recovery. And as a previous share, not to cross share, said, you know, it's based on my fifth spiritual condition, not on food today. Yes, I have a food plan, and that treats the my abstinence, but, you know, the treats the physical allergy, but the mental obsession is treated by these steps. That's how I treat that, you know. And I had that external unmanageability, and I was sharing at a meeting last night, that's what I thought step one was about. You know, the external manageability, the crazy things I did in my life, but it's not. It's talking about the inward unmanageability. That's what step one is referring to, the irritable, restless and discontent that is within me. And that's the reason that I ate, because I have that spiritual malady. Yeah, but I have a solution today. There is a solution in these rooms. There is a solution in these 12 steps. And yeah, just very grateful to be in that solution today. So thank you. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Maria F. from Ireland. Kristen R., please share with us, followed by Jan C.
Good morning. My name is Kristen R. I'm calling in from Virginia, and I am a compulsive overeater. I am struggling this morning because my daughter is 12, and she's having some problems with her social skills, and it's heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking. And what I eat over are my emotions. And right now I feel like my heart is breaking. And all I want to do is go buy a donut or rather a whole box. I'd rather eat a gallon of ice cream. I'd rather do anything than feel what I'm feeling right now. And I appreciate what this paragraph says about some will be drunk the day after making their resolutions, most of them within a few weeks. So if this paragraph was written about me, mine would say, she will be drunk the day she has an emotion she doesn't want, if not within a week. I mean, that's why I eat, over my emotions. And it's so hard sometimes to hear stay in fit spiritual condition, because I did get up this morning, I did pray, I did my meditation, I did everything that I was supposed to do, and I'm still feeling strong emotions, and I still want to eat. So I'm just going to keep turning to my higher power for the rest of the day and begging for help, because that's what I need. So thanks, Kristen R. in Virginia. Have a good day. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kristen R. Jan C., it's your turn, followed by Jesse L. Go ahead, Jan.
This is Jan C. from Casa Grande, Arizona, and I'm so grateful to be here this morning. I've heard such great things. You know, this paragraph certainly applies to me also. If he's a real alcoholic and very far advanced, there's scant chance of success, and I could add, on my own. And I've been in program for many, many years. I never left the room, but I never worked the program the way I've been working it this last year. Since I did the steps the big book way with a wonderful, wonderful patient sponsor. And today I have freedom from food and I have neutrality, and I never, ever had that in all these years. My food plan is different. Frankly, one of the big things in there, I'm not eating between meals, and I never thought I could survive with that. My goodness sakes. What I'm learning is I must every day enlarge my spiritual connection to my God. And there are many ways to do that. My prayers in the morning, making outreach calls, something that did not help me in the years and when I would slough off and fall off, so to speak. I wasn't connecting with other people on a daily basis. And that's what I'm doing now, connecting with other fellows on a daily basis and also sponsoring. That has really been a wonderful opportunity for me, because I am working the steps every day, several different steps with different people. So the mental obsession, I'm really working on my steps. I know that this disease gets progressive. I do not want it to progress anymore. So I want to stay in the solution. So I'm really grateful to be able to have spoken this morning to share my experience, strength, and hope, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Jan C. from Arizona. Jesse L., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names. Just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 34, that first paragraph, as we look back through one paragraph ending, most of them within a few weeks. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hi, this is Jesse L. from South Carolina, a compulsive overeater. I listen to this meeting often. I don't think I've ever shared on here, though. But I could really relate to stuff today. I know in the deepest part of me that I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm always going to be. I've been back in the food for a week now, and it's just the craziness that comes along with it and the anxiety and the fear. I haven't left my higher power, God. You know, I still spend time with him every morning, but I can have such a great spiritual time with him in the morning, yet the disease is still knocking on my door in the afternoon. So I'm just, I'm thankful for this meeting and everyone that shares on here, because it truly does help me. And I hope everyone has a good day. With that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing, Jessie L. Great to hear you today. And I'm now going to take the names of a couple other people that would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Alicia R. from Las Vegas.
Alicia R. from Las Vegas.
Tanya yes. P.
Tanya P.
Michigan.
All right. And yes. Was there one more voice, Jackie?
Yeah, Jackie from Michigan.
And what's your initial?
M.
M. Okay, very good. I'm not sure we'll have time, but we'll see how it goes. Wendy M., please okay. Go ahead and share.
Great. Hi, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Dawn, always great to hear you on the line. Thank you for your service and everybody who's participating and listening. And this is a divinely inspired book. So what comes to me is the quote on, I think it's page 62, when it says, you know, we have strategies. And it says, well, one of our strategies is that we exert ourselves more. And that's been a strategy that's not now, but it's been a strategy my entire life. I'm just going to exert myself more. That'll do the trick. You know, that's how I'm going to fix this thing that I have. And as somebody said on the line, and I hear it all the time, it's great, is, you know, when we put the food down, we just feel more, you know, more jealousy, more blame, more hurt, more fear, right? Okay. So as somebody said, we don't just put the food down, right? We do the 12 steps so that we can have a rearrangement, so that we can have a complete and utter change in ourselves and a complete in alliance with our higher power. And so I just love that. Exert ourselves more. I love it because it's so apt, you know, and especially with food, because if nothing else, this paragraph and really all of them are about our thinking, right? That's what this whole chapter is about. And what I come, you know, to understand is that it doesn't matter how I'm going to get the food, how I'm going to justify it, whether I say it's been a year, I'm good to go, it's been 2 weeks, I got skinny, it's been. We are a heat-seeking missile. We want what we want. And if we want the food, we're going to get the food. Eventually, we are going to get the food until and unless the miracle happens. And I have to say, I've been in 24 years. The miracle happened a year ago when I said, I'm just willing to do whatever you do. I said to this sponsor, just tell me what to do. And it didn't even matter like what she told me to do. What mattered is that I took direction, is that I put down my life and I said, God's in charge. Let's hire God and fire Wendy. And let's put down my life. That's what mattered. Literally, it didn't matter if she said call 10 people a day. It really didn't matter. I had to get out of the way. I had to stop playing God. And when that happened, I stopped, you know, with the heat-seeking missile. I stopped with the notion that eventually I can get to the food. Because that's really what this chapter and it's all about. It's all about how do I get to the food until I don't, until I say I'm done. Tell me what to do. I'm not in charge anymore. This is a doing action program, not a thinking program. Thanks for letting me share it.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Alicia R. from Las Vegas, your turn, followed by Tanya P.
Hi, this is Alicia R. from Las Vegas. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Great. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who was of service this morning. Just wanted to claim my seat. I really appreciate all of the shares so far. And what was coming to me as that paragraph was being read is, and as has been shared, you know, that OA brought me to a whole nother level of honesty in my program, right? Because it no longer, you know, if I'm lying to my sponsor about, you know, whatever it may be, what food's working for me, what food's not, the only one it hurt was me, right? And I continued to struggle and suffer in the food. And, you know, I've recently come across a food plan that seems to be working for me better than any other food plan has, and I'm super grateful for that. But there's always more that will be revealed, right? And deeper levels of honesty that I get to discover and find with my higher power, right? Because at the end of the day, it's that honesty between me and my higher power, and I don't want to suffer. I don't want to struggle. You know, those are the hard feelings that I avoid. But I've learned that through the suffering and through the struggling, I learn about me, I learn about my disease, and I learn what it takes to get the freedom that I am seeking, right? And I've had it, and I've lost it, and I've had it, and I've lost it. And maybe it's not a permanent state of being. You know, that's possible as well. This life is a journey, and this recovery is a journey as well. And always more to be learned, always more to discover, as long as I can remain honest, open, and willing, right, to continue doing the work outside of these meetings, and to keep coming back to these meetings. Because I definitely need to hear you. This is where I hear my higher power the most, so that I can distinguish between my voice and my higher power's voice. Right? It's easy to combine the two. And I think that's all I got. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Alicia R. from Las Vegas. Tanya P., it's your turn, followed by Jackie M.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan. Thank you for everyone's service this morning. There have been a lot of powerful shares this morning. I really appreciate the thoughtfulness that everybody has put into this paragraph. But what comes up for me is how powerless I am over my drugs of choice. You know, there are lots of foods on my red light list. And it's hard for me sometimes to be grateful for what I get to eat. I forget to use the word, this is what I get to eat, because I want to have that over there, you know, that grass is always greener syndrome. I want to have that. I had a lot of company at my house this weekend, and the only way I could cope with that was to pack up my meals. So I'm at my house, but I'm making my meals and putting them in the refrigerator, and I didn't touch the potluck table or anything that we put on the grill, because I had to keep myself separate so that I didn't go for those foods that might trigger me. I have a food that I can eat successfully without binging on it, but for some reason, the ingredients, no doubt, when I do eat that food, there are other things I want. So it's not that food, but it's some ingredient in that food. And it's so hard sometimes for me to feel happy, joyous, and free. Even though I often, most days I have food neutrality, but there are a few times when I'm like, I need that food to numb me out because I just don't want to feel the big feelings. I don't want to be in this place at this time. So that's how I can turn it off. So I am really grateful for the people who share my compulsion and are willing to share from their hearts and souls the struggle that we go through every day, and grateful for the moments of freedom that I have, which become more and more plentiful. So thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Tanya P. from Michigan. Jackie M., it's your turn, and please let us know where you're calling from. Star one, Jackie.
Sorry. This is Jackie M. I'm from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and I want to share something that happened to me. The other night, it was the day before yesterday, I fell in the middle of the night. And I had to have the paramedics come and help me get up. And I decided I'd go downstairs and sleep in another room. And they helped me. And after they left, I wanted to eat. But I didn't. It wasn't my time to eat. It wasn't a meal time. And then in the morning, I was starving and I wanted to eat. But it wasn't my time to eat. I had to wait. And I only can do this through the grace of God. I've struggled. I have a loving sponsor, and if you're struggling out there, it's the disease, it's not you. So all I can say is keep coming back, find a loving sponsor, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Ah, thank you so much, Jackie M. from Michigan. And to everyone who shared, we'll now go ahead and close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. And just a quick reminder, if you happen to be new, please stick around because we're going to be allowing newcomers a chance to announce their names and numbers and also sponsors. So please stick around to the end of the meeting. So now on page 164, we'll go ahead and have Shelley E. read that, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Good morning, Dawn. Thanks for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Shelley E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Petoskey, Michigan. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me.